hush of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. Surely in the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts as we enter this Lenten season, as we remember all that you did for us because of your love and grace. Help us that we might seek to draw closer to you and closer to each other. Remind us, Lord, that we have a kingdom to build. May we be faithful in the task that you set before us. And we give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing number 277. Number 277. This morning is entitled, Follow Me. Jesus said, follow me, come be my disciples.
And we reply, as have others through the centuries, we do not understand. Please explain what you mean.
Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And he replied, if you want to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross daily and follow me.
Put myself aside and take up my cross. That sounds scary, Lord. What else are you going to want me to do?
And he said, if you will come and be my disciple, I will show you how to fish for people. Listen, my child, if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven.
Then, Lord, it seems like I am doing all the work. What about all the others who are not doing their part?
Jesus replied, what is that to you? You follow me. And all of God's people responded, Lord, we hear and accept your call and claim on our lives. Empower us with your Holy Spirit that we might follow you and share your love every moment of every day. Glory be to the As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
Yes, I saw two bluebirds at a tailgate this morning, and the bluebirds say it's the sun, something good's going to happen.
All right. Wonderful, thank you. Any others? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unconditional, unlimited love for us. We pray now that, as the words of the song say, that we might look for ways to show more love to you. Help us, Lord, that one of the ways that we might show our love for you is in how we show our love for each other. You told us that this was how everyone was going to know that we were your disciples, that we had love one for another. We pray this morning that you be with each one gathered here. Lord, we're not necessarily here because we feel so good, or because it's been a great and wonderful week, or because this coming week is going to be chock full of blessings. We're here today, Lord, because we love you and we want to take a few moments out of a busy schedule to stop and give you honor and praise. We pray that you'd be with each one here this morning, Lord. Lord, there's not a person here today that's as young as they used to be, and some of us are feeling it more than others. We pray for your healing touch to be upon each one. Those that are facing surgeries and procedures and therapies and all of the other things that go along with aging, Lord, we just pray that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray today that you'd be with those that are grieving, grieving loss of a loved one, grieving loss of a pet, grieving the loss of a job, or the loss of the ability to be employed. We pray today that you would lift them up and strengthen them. We thank you for this beautiful day that we have before us. We pray, Lord, that you would make us mindful that even on those days when the clouds gather in and the rain or the snow or the sleet fall, the sun is still shining just a few hundred feet up. Remind us that in those days when we feel like we're all alone and the whole world is against us, that your love is still there. You promise you would never leave us or forsake us. We pray today that you'd be with our troops all over the globe. Be with their families, Lord. Surround them with your love and care. Be with our leaders, Lord. We pray for your anointing to be upon them. We pray that your Holy Spirit would supersede every other ambition that might be there, that they might seek to do your work and do your will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and caring for us. Thank you for the witness of your people through your church here at Rockwood. We pray now that you would use us to your honor and glory. Show us what you'd have us to do to be builders of your kingdom. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you please come? Heavenly Father, for all of your many wonderful gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I invite you now to take your hymnals and join with us as we sing number 504 in your hymnal, The Old Rugged Cross. Verses 1, 2, and 3. On a hill far away stood an old standing, if you would please, for the reading of the gospel from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. You may be seated. There are a whole lot of descriptive adjectives that we could use about children, aren't there? One of them is that they are fascinating. Do you remember the program that Art Linkletter used to have on TV, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Uh-huh. I remember one evening he was talking to a little girl and he said, "Do you have any pets?" She said, "Yes, I have a puppy." Art said, "Does the puppy have a pedigree?" She started giggling. She said, "Yes, and yesterday he pedigreed all over the house." Oh, bless her heart. There was a wedding going on at church. Little girl was sitting beside her mother, and as the ceremony started, she said, "Mommy, why is that lady wearing all white?" The mother thought for a minute and said, "Well, because today is her wedding day, and white is the color of happiness. And today is the happiest day of her life." Little girl thought for a moment, and then she said, "Why is the man wearing black?" Food for thought there, you know it? Yes, I wouldn't have thought of that. The children were playing in the backyard, and they had all the lawn chairs and all the chairs they could round up fixed in rows, and they were sitting there, and they were doing something, and every once in a while they would stop what they were doing and they would whisper to each other. And the mother was watching them out the kitchen window, and finally she went out and says, "What are you all doing?" And one of the children responded and said, "Oh, we're playing church." She said, "Well, you're not supposed to whisper in church." And her son spoke up and said, "It's okay, Mom, we're in the choir." I don't know where they got that from, but then there was the boy that came home from Sunday school one day. They'd had a lesson on Adam and Eve and the creation. And he was amused at the idea that Eve was created from Adam's rib. Teacher showed them where the ribs were. Well, a day or two later, that boy came down with the flu. And he kind of ached all over, and he went down. He says, "Mom, my side is hurting. I think I'm having a wife." It worked one time. Let me share some quotes with you about children and young people and see if you agree with them. "Children are tyrants. They do not stand when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company. Then they tyrannize their teachers." Here's another quote. "What is happening to our young people? They disrespect their elders. They disobey their parents. They ignore the law. They riot in the streets. They're inflamed with wild notions. Their morals are decaying. What is to become of them?" Some of you are sitting there saying, "Yep, that's the way they are." Well, let me tell you, one of those quotes is from Socrates and the other one is from Plato. Both of them are over 2,000 years old. Now, I don't know how to tell you this, but somewhere between Socrates and Plato and today, most of us here were young people. And I will guarantee you that whenever that period was for you, there were adults who were upset with the younger generation, even while we were children and youth. So before you say too much about the ones today, take a look in the mirror. One Sunday morning, I was in fifth grade. I was 10 years old. And I wanted to sit with a friend in church instead of sitting with Mom and Dad like families always did back then. Our church was almost 200 years old then. And Mom, we just lived about 100 yards from the church, so after Sunday school, Mom would go home and put the roast in the oven, come back for church. I knew she was at home, so I went running out of Sunday school, took off across the street, The next thing I knew, I was looking up at the gas tank of a car. Now, a couple seconds earlier or a couple seconds later, I wouldn't have been looking up at a gas tank of a car. The car came to a screeching halt, and I crawled out from underneath it. The lady's name, bless her heart, I'm going to have to look her up when I get to heaven and apologize because she almost died on the spot. Rose Ellen got out of her car and she says, "Are you okay? Are you all right?" And I said, "Sure, I'm fine." And I took off and ran home and asked Mom if I could sit with my friend in church. During church, everybody saw my family sitting over there minus me. And so after church, they all went over to Mom and said, "How's David? Is he going to be all right? Is he okay?" My mother says, "What are you talking about?" So after we got home, she did a strip search to make sure I was okay. But children will do that to parents. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but they do. Now, getting back to where we are today, most of us have seen perhaps many of the old Andy Griffith shows. Probably seen some of them many times. Probably still watch the reruns and think with me for a moment. Barney Fife. How many times have we seen him become overinflated with himself as deputy sheriff? He tried to keep everybody and everything under control. He would flash his badge and sometimes he would even wave his unloaded gun to make sure everybody obeyed the letter of the law. Now, if we were to look in Luke chapter 18, we would see that the disciples were doing about the same thing. After all, they were on the Messiah's team. They perceived that it was their job to keep everything and everybody in order. When parents came with squirmy, whining children to Jesus, they figured that Jesus had more important grown-up things to tend to. Jesus told the disciples, "Let the children come to me." He realized that in children there are untapped qualities of genuineness, dependence, trust, openness, affection, curiosity, energy, enthusiasm, joy, and wonder. Children can show us how to be a part of God's kingdom. We are starting a sermon series today. Today's title is Lent, an opportunity to meet Jesus like the children did. In the next few weeks, we'll be talking about meeting Jesus like Mary and Martha did, or like Nicodemus did, or like Paul did. But we'll be looking at it from different aspects. Today, we're going to be talking about meeting Jesus with a childlike faith. If we have the faith of children, first of all, we're going to know how to celebrate life. Little girl was praying, and as she prayed, she said, "If I should wake before I die." Well, that's close. We learned it, if I should die before I wake. But you know, so many of us today are asleep in our indifference. Romans chapter 13 said, "This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Look in the mirror. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Jesus told the crowd that day, and the disciples. Now, mind you, some of those disciples were trustees and on the finance team and on the administrative council and the staff parish committee and all of these others. While some of them had been members of the church for 392 years. Jesus told them, like he's telling us today, that to be part of God's kingdom, we must become like children. Now, take a note on this. He is talking about you and me being childlike, not childish. and there is a big difference there. Woman was talking to her pastor one time. She said, "Pastor, I just wanted to let you know that I don't feel like I'm getting fed at this church, so I'm leaving." He looked at her calmly. "I like this. I don't know if I'd have the nerve or not. I think I would." But he looked at her and he said, "You know," he said, "if you're not getting fed, maybe you need to take off your bib and put on an apron. We're not called to get fed. We're called to feed, folks. And most of us have been around long enough that we ought to be pretty good at serving others and not just sitting there waiting to be served." Following the account of Jesus and the children, we read about the rich young ruler. Now here's a former child. Now he is educated and sophisticated. He has everything that the world says is necessary for success. But he was still looking for something that was missing, something that would make his life worthwhile. He felt empty. He was hungry for something more. The scripture tells us that after that encounter with Jesus, he went away sorrowing because he was too set in his ways. He was too cynical, too skeptical, too proud, too image conscious, too adult. Excitement, zest, energy, enthusiasm, eagerness, delight, whatever we want to call it, It's a special ability to celebrate life that is so characteristic of children. And it should also be a characteristic of a Christian character. Unfortunately, many of us lose that as we grow older. Robert Fulghum, many of you know that he wrote that bestseller, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He tells in that book about visiting college campuses where people are at the end of their formal education process. And then he contrasted them with children who are in kindergarten, just beginning the educational process. He says, "Ask a kindergarten class, how many of you can draw? Every hand goes up." He says, "What can you draw?" "Everything, anything. You tell me what you want and I'll draw it for you." Heard about a Sunday school class one time. They were busy at work with their crayons and their paper, and pastor came into the room and went over to one little boy that was working away and he says, "What are you drawing?" Little boy says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Preacher says, "Well, that's interesting. Nobody really knows what God looks like." Little boy says, "They will when I get done." Well, then he asks the kindergartners, "How many of you can sing?" "Oh, yeah, 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 I can sing. Yeah, yeah." "What can you sing?" "Well, I can sing anything. You name a song, and if I don't know the words, I'll make them up." "Uh-huh." Heard about one version, you know that song, "In the Good Old Summertime, in the Good Old Summertime, strolling down a shady lane with your baby mind. You hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's a very good sign that she's your tootsie wootsie," whatever that is, "in the good old summertime." Okay? I heard a version of that that starts off the same way, but it says, "You hold her hand and she holds your wallet, and that's a very good sign that she's your honey because of your money in the good old summertime." But the children say, "Oh yeah, we can sing anything you want, you name it." And he says, "How many of you can dance?" "Oh yeah, 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 I can dance, I can do that. Yeah, let's dance, okay, come on, can we dance now, please?" Everybody can dance in kindergarten. They answer yes to anything and everything. "I can do that." They're confident in spirit, they're eager to learn, and they believe that everything is still possible for them. Then he says, "Okay, now let's go to the college campus and let's ask the same questions of a group of college questions. Let's ask a group of college students the same questions." Can you draw? Can you sing? Can you dance? Sort of like this crowd here. You know, not a hand goes up. Or maybe just a few hands go up. And if they do answer affirmatively, they want to qualify it. Well, I only sing in groups. No solos. Or I only sing in the shower. Isn't it amazing how great we sound in the shower? Maybe we need to do some remodeling up here. No, never mind. Okay. Well, I play an instrument. I only play the piano, and I don't play that very much. Well, I can draw a little bit, but not very well. Why all these limitations? Why are they so guarded? Why do they feel compelled to qualify their answers? Why do they say, I'm not talented, or I'm majoring in something else? What happened between kindergarten and college to suddenly stifle that creativity that they once perceived they had? Can all children really draw or sing or dance? Or is it that they can enjoy these things whether they can really do them well or not? We have to allow ourselves to grow out of celebrating. We have allowed ourselves to grow out of celebrating every moment of every day that comes our way. We no longer rejoice in butterflies and dandelions. You ever notice how a child, they'll see a worm on the sidewalk and they'll pick it up? How many of y'all would just walk over and pick up a worm with your bare hands? A few, very few. How many of you guys would go fishing and put the worm on your own hook? Absolutely, yeah. If it's fishing, that's different. Those are different worms than the one on the sidewalk. Hospital chaplain kept a journal over the years. He had records of almost 89 people who experienced NDEs, near-death experiences. Most of them talked about a light, a tunnel going toward the light. There was one patient's story that really struck him in particular, though. One Sunday morning at his church, he had baptized a 7-week-old baby. The parents didn't attend church there, but they wanted their baby to be baptized. The next morning, the mother was feeding the baby, and all of a sudden the baby went completely limp. There was no respiration. There was no pulse. The woman screamed for her husband. They called 911. They began CPR on the baby. At the hospital, the doctors finally got the baby breathing again. They kept the baby overnight for observation. The next day, the baby went home. This family did not attend church. They did not read the Bible. They didn't talk about the Bible. The name Jesus never came up in their family discussions. They never mentioned this incident to their daughter because they didn't want her to become traumatized. 4 years later, the mother was driving down the street with a little girl in her car seat in the back. And all of a sudden, this 4-year-old girl said something that made the mother slam on the brakes and pull over at the curb and turn the car off and turn around and say, "What did you just say?" The little girl pointed back at the hospital they just passed. She said, "That's where Jesus came and got me, and then he brought me back." Now that ought to raise the hair on the back of your neck. The family had never told the little girl about this near-death experience when she was 7 weeks old. They had not been inside a church since the baby's baptism. They had never mentioned the name of Jesus to that little girl. They didn't go to church or Sunday school. Now, pray tell, how can a little girl who is 7 weeks old remember something that happened? I don't know. But I'm here to tell you this morning that family now goes to church every single Sunday. And a child shall lead them. Secondly, we have the gift of amazement. I've got a scary thought for you. God knows each one of us even better than we know ourselves. Now, you may say that you were a size 8, but God knows. Guys, you may claim to weigh 150 pounds, but God knows. God knows us completely, yet we have the assurance that God will never, ever leave us or forsake us. We need to rekindle our childhood amazement about how real and how close God always is. Remember that song that we sing from time to time? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Another song. Michelle, has that bag been opened yet? Very good. I was kind of watching, but I wasn't sure. It's an inside joke. You can ask her about it later and she'll share them with you. There's another song we sing that says, there's the wonder of sunset at evening. There's the wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Then finally, number three. If we are like children, we are able to trust. I heard a story way back when I was in high school about a father who was walking with his little son one day, and he put his son up on the wall and he stood down below and he said, jump. I'm scared. Jump. Little boy jumped, and as he did, the father stepped aside. Little boy was crying. He had scraped his knees and his elbows, and the father said, I did that to teach you never to trust anybody. Heaven help us. As children, I'm here to tell you today that we have a heavenly Father that we can always trust. Little girl was trying to repeat the 23rd Psalm, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's it, folks. Children know how to believe. A little boy was told that he couldn't go to the church picnic on Sunday because he had not behaved himself. He was very upset. All of his friends were going to be there and they were going to have good food and play games and all that. When the day came, his mother relented and said, "It's okay. We'll let you go to the picnic. You've been behaving yourself. We'll let you go to the picnic." Little boy said, "I'm sorry, Mom. It's too late. I've already prayed for rain." What faith? Okay. A veterinarian was called to examine the 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. He had been a family pet for years, and now he was old and sick. The next day, 4-year-old Shane was petting Belker as Belker took his final breath. Shane was calm about it all, and he accepted Belker's death with poise and confidence. As the veterinarian sat there with the family, they were discussing why it could be that dogs don't live as long as humans. 4-year-old Shane said, "I know why." They all turned to him and listened. He said, "People are born so they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice. Dogs already know that, so they don't have to stay here as long. Have you learned?" In this season of Lent, Jesus invites each of us to come to him. He wants to hold us in his arms. He wants to watch over us day by day. If we will meet him, he'll give us reason to celebrate, to be amazed, and to trust him. Heavenly Father, forgive us for thinking we are so suave and sophisticated and mature. So often we are still like little children. We have our temper tantrums. We pout, we frown, we scowl. We moan, we groan, we cry. Forgive us. Remind us that we are your children. And you, as our Heavenly Father, are going to watch over us through every situation of life. Remind us that right now we're in a place that isn't always nice. But the day is soon coming and we'll all be coming home. We'll all gather around the table with friends and loved ones who've gone before us. Supper time in heaven. Wow. Help us that we might remember that we are your children. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Number 504 in your hymnal, we were just there, but now we're going to sing the last verse, verse 4 of the Old Rugged Cross.
To the old rugged cross
I will ever be true. His shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cheer.
Now, as children of God, may you leave this place to go out into the world and let them know that they have a Father who unconditionally loves them also. May you go out into the world in childlike faith in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
with you till we